So our Bible reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, and it's from chapter 21. If you do want to look, it is on page 989 of the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them in the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "They will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him.
Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied, "and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants, who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time." And Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from those from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet.
Thank you. So I'm going to invite Paul now, who's going to come and talk to us a little bit about that parable, and I'm just going to pray for you as you... So loving God, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you that you spoke in parables, in stories, in poetry, and that we can get loads of things out of the way that you have spoken and the way that you have written. We thank you for the things that you have been speaking to Paul about. We ask that our hearts are open to hear from you this morning. And may you bless Paul in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. I have with me this morning some sweets. I like sweets. Does anyone else here like sweets?
Yes.
Quite a lot of you like sweets. Well, in that case, I strongly recommend that you do what I did and go out and buy yourself some. These are mine. I bought these for me because I like sweets. Now, I know what you're thinking. I've got several bags in here. There's rather a lot of sweets in here for one person. Don't worry, I'm not going to eat them all in one go. And certainly not before I've had my lunch. No, I may, if I'm feeling generous, share them with some of the people I love at some point. Or I may just eat them all myself. They're my sweets, I can do what I like with them. Now, before I get to today's reading, I'm going to need some volunteers, preferably young volunteers, probably about four. I see a hand there, so that's one. Okay, two, three, and one of you, I'm afraid, four, but you might be able to... In fact, both of you come out. You might have to work together on this one. So if you come out here, my volunteers. Now, what I need is people I can trust. I can trust all of you, can't I? You can see why I was reluctant. The older ones are teenagers. I've had experiences with these before. Less trusting. But OK, we'll give you a go. So what I need you to do, this is very important, I want you to look after my sweets for me while I'm talking. Okay, do you think you can do that? Now, when I say look after them, I mean I want you to make sure that nobody eats them, including yourselves, okay? Because I need these back at the end of the service, okay, when I finish talking. And when you give them back to me, if they're unopened at the end and you've looked after them for me, then I'll let you have one of my sweets. How's that? Okay? So if I could give you a packet of sweets, so I'm trusting you to look after these for me, okay? You two will have to do it between you, I'm afraid. So there's a packet there. I want those unopened. So if you go back to your seats, just look after them for me while I'm talking. And then at the end, I want those back. Okay. Oh, have I done the right thing? I do wonder. Right. So today's reading, it's on page 989 of the Church Bibles, if you want to follow it, if you want to have it in front of you. It's Matthew chapter 21 and starting at verse 33. The parable of the tenants. I don't know about you, but I find this parable quite uncomfortable reading. It's the first Sunday of the month, Harvest Sunday. It's an all-age service. I always think it's good to keep it nice and light. So I'm so glad we've got this nice, cheery parable about people getting beaten up and killed. Lovely. So what's it all about? Well, verse 45 gives us a handy clue. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. The image of a vineyard with a watchtower and a wine press would have been very familiar to the Pharisees. This was an image used by the prophet Isaiah, and he was helpful enough to tell us what it represents. Isaiah says, "The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel." The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel. And if the vineyard represents the nation of Israel, then obviously the landowner is God, and the tenants, those left in charge of the vineyard to make sure it produces good fruit, must be the religious leaders, the Pharisees. They are the ones who were chosen, trusted, to look after God's people. But when God sent his servants, the prophets, to collect the fruit that belongs to him, the Pharisees rejected them. They beat them, stoned them, and turned them away. But surely the Pharisees will respect God's own son. Of course, Jesus already knows what they will do to him before they've even done it. In verses 38 to 39, he says, "But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, 'This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take away his inheritance.' So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him." Jesus tells this parable as a warning to the Pharisees. If it feels uncomfortable, it's meant to. He's trying to open their eyes to what they are about to do. He's trying to make them understand the consequences. He asks them in verse 40, "Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" And the Pharisees condemn themselves with their own words in verse 41. "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied, "and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time." And of course, those other tenants are the Gentiles, the non-Jews who were not originally part of God's chosen nation, but who have been given a chance because they are obedient to God's son. So, there you go, simple as that. This is a parable aimed at those nasty Pharisees, boo! Not aimed at us, so we don't need to worry. Marvellous, we can all go home and stop worrying then. Except, I'm not quite sure it's as simple as that. We're so used to reading these stories about in the Bible about the Pharisees trying to get Jesus arrested and killed that we automatically think of them as the bad guys. We forget that they were actually the good guys. They were God's chosen people. They were the righteous and respectable. If there was anyone you would have expected to have a place in God's plan, it was the Pharisees. But Jesus has a habit of turning everything upside down. The good guys in his parables are often those that would have been seen by everyone else as wicked and undesirable. Which group do you identify with, I wonder? Are all of us here wicked and undesirable? Or do you think that the people who go to church on a Sunday morning might be seen as righteous and respectable, as God's chosen people, the kind of people you would expect to have a place in God's plan? Of course, that's not really the point, is it? Jesus isn't saying that it's better to be wicked and undesirable than to be righteous and respectable. Of course he isn't. He's saying that none of that matters if you don't follow him. And that, you will say, is the difference between us and the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees rejected Jesus. They had him arrested and crucified. Whereas we accept him into our lives. We acknowledge him as God's son, and we do not reject him. But look again at the parable. Look at why the tenants did what they did. Verse 34. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants didn't reject and kill the servants and the son because they didn't recognize them or because they didn't acknowledge their authority. They rejected and killed them because they were selfish and greedy. They wanted to keep all of the fruit for themselves instead of giving back to the landowner what was his. And that resulted in their downfall. It is not enough for us simply to acknowledge who Jesus is. We have to be prepared to respond to what he asks us. If he asks us to give back to him what is his, we mustn't try to hold on to it, to keep it to ourselves, because everything we have belongs to him. That's not to say that God will ask us to give up everything. There's no suggestion that this is an unjust landowner who will be prepared to see his tenants starve. But whatever he asks for is his by right. He may ask us to give up some of our money or our food. He may ask us for some of our time or our talents. And Harvest Sunday is a good time to be thinking about what we have to give. If we are blessed with what we need for ourselves, it is worth considering what we have that we can offer back to God. It is worth listening to God's messengers and understanding what God is asking from you. We're in a season of new things here at St. Michael's. If you feel that God is nudging you to do something new, don't ignore it. Pray about it. Talk to someone about it. And heed his call. Speaking of which, it's time for what's mine to be given back to me. So if I could have my volunteers back, please, with your sweets that you were asked to look after. Let's see, have we got unopened packets? See, I knew I could trust you. Look at this, that's an unopened packet. Very good. Two unopened packets here. Excellent. There's another one. Fantastic. Look at that. Look at that. Even the ones I trusted the least. Oh, reluctant to give it back, though. Reluctant to give it back. It's tough, isn't it? It's tough giving them up. You were hoping to keep them. He's going to keep them. Okay. It's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult. So, do you like sweets, all of you? You like sweets, okay. And I said, didn't I, that at the start, that if you gave them back to me and you looked after them while I was talking, that I'd let you have one, didn't I? But you see, you had the whole packet. You could have had them all. So why didn't you? Those of you that have given them back, why did you not eat the sweets? Well, I... Go on, Bradley. It's the wrong thing to do, Bradley says. Absolutely. Why is it the wrong thing to do to eat the sweets? They're not yours. Absolutely. You knew they were mine. Fantastic. From a young age, and I reckon even younger than this, we all understand the difference between right and wrong. We know when we should give back what isn't ours to keep. But it can be tempting sometimes, can't it? I think a little bit of temptation going on there. Giving the sweets back might be the right thing to do, but actually it would be quite nice to keep hold of the sweets. Having the sweets in your hand, it's very tempting to eat them. Were you tempted a little bit with these sweets in your hand? Did you think, I'd quite like to have some? You give them to your dad? Okay, was that to take temptation away from you a little bit? It's difficult when they're there in front of you, aren't they? But you gave them back because you knew they weren't really yours and you knew that it was the right thing to do. Now, I said, didn't I, that if you looked after them for me, you could have one of my sweets. So you can. And then when you finish sharing them with your friends and family, you can have the rest. Okay? There we go. That's for you. Thank you. You can go and sit down.